it's your love and justice, God. You use the weak to lead the strong. You lead us in the song of your salvation. And all your people sing it long. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise of God.
Morning, church. Let's all stand up and worship today.
Andy.
Fest.
God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. Breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe, oh breath of God.
So, you guys want to hear a story? All right, so, you know, I don't like preaching, you know, but again, like Wes said last week, you know, it's hard to speak about God and not feel like you're preaching, you know, it's just how it works, you know. So, I just want to tell a story because this song talks about how, a lot about God's grace. How big is God's grace? Do you guys realize how big that is and how much he extends that to us every day? You know, and I'm just kind of disheartened about our politics right now. We have this Twitter campaign going on, and I feel kind of disheartened about, you know, how we talk about things that matter. So I want to talk about a woman named Selena Binyaz. Anybody know who that is? Okay, so she was the youngest survivor of Auschwitz. She was the youngest person on Schindler's List. And I watched a 90-minute interview with her talking about this, what happened to her in Auschwitz in her life. And, you know, it's we think of, we're so disconnected to the reality of today. We watch the news and look at the internet, and we don't know what's real. This is a real person. She's real. What happened to her was real. You know, she was taken from her home at 13 years old. Her whole family was, and she was sent to Auschwitz. She was actually sentenced to death at one point by Joseph Mengele, and that for some reason. So when Joseph Mengele came in, he had a pencil. He pointed this way for life and this way for death. So she looked him right in the eye. She had the strength to say, "Lass mich gehen." "Lass mich gehen" means "let me go" in German. And she, for some reason, by the hand of God, took his pencil and pointed at the lifeline. So she actually ran out into the cold, naked, with her clothes in her hand. And then so from there, she when she got released from Auschwitz, she went to Poland. They weren't accepted there. They made their way back to Germany. And from there, she spent a year and a half in Germany, where she was taught by a 90-year-old nun. The 90-year-old nun taught her how to read and write, speak German, speak English, science, math, because she lost 3 years of her life for learning. She didn't know how to read and write. Came to the United States, got her education, caught up in a year and a half, went to 12th grade, went to college. And her big message was, don't teach your kids to hate. That was her big message. And I thought, oh, that's great. That's what I need to get out of this whole interview. But really, a week later, God said, no, that wasn't it. That wasn't the part that was powerful. The part that was powerful was the part that she only cried when she spoke about the nun. So all the stuff that happened to her, all the horrible things she talked about, didn't make the impact that the nun did. The nun made a difference in her life. The nun extended the love and grace of God to give her a chance at life. So that's the only time she cried. And I was like, wow, that's amazing that it took a feather, not a hammer, to make a difference in her life. That's That sums up the whole thing for me. That sums up the whole reason why Christ came for us. You know, he didn't come down for us to be a hammer. He came for us to be a feather and extend grace and be teachers. That's the power of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Just like Taylor said the other day, it's about love, right? Right, Taylor? Amen. Anyways. Oh, awesome. Thanks, pal. I can't do 45 minutes, though.
I can. At least.
All right, we're going to roast Jack today.
That's right.
All right, that's part of the reason why I chose this song this morning, Forever Rain. Because God is good. When there's nothing good in me, you are love on display for all to see, right? And you are peace and my fear is crippling. Nothing good in me. You are love on display for all to see. You are light when the darkness closes in. You are hope, you have covered all my sin.
is nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
Come by.
Lord God, as we come here today, I just get the feeling that this week has consisted of a lot of heaviness. And so, God, you say take your yoke upon you because your burden is easy and your load is light. And so, God, today as we wrap up the five series where you've helped us try to get this year started off in a positive way, God, we may just be able to release some of that heavy load just of life upon you, and that we'll just begin to seek you and to recognize, just as Wayne mentioned, just how awesome your grace, your undeserved love and favor for us is. And that through your Holy Spirit, God, as it fills every nook and cranny of this entire building and of our lives, for our online church as they watch through Haven, or for our Facebook Live group that is watching live online, whatever you may be, that may the Holy Spirit just move in your heart and in your life right now. I just sense a lot of brokenness and a lot of hurt. And so, God, right now, as you touch each person's life during this time, that you may go ahead and bring to us a newness, that we may know you more deeply than we ever have. And we give you praise for who you are, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right, at this time, those of you who are here, our children can head to our Shoreline Sunday School ministry, and everybody else just kind of say hello to somebody near you. All right. Good morning. Everybody's doing well today? Okay. It's got colder, right? Finally, a little bit colder, but we're good to see everybody. Again, we want to welcome you. If you're visiting with us today, welcome to Haven Community Church. Hopefully somebody said hi to you. If not, make them. They should. Hopefully you just feel welcome. I hope everybody just relaxes and has a good time. We just believe that God brought you here, not by mistake, but that you're here for a reason. And so we're just glad that you are here, ready to worship with us, all right? And again, if you received a card when you came in as a visitor, we want you to go ahead and fill that out. We have a small gift for you. Thank you for being part of our worship. If you're joining us with Facebook Live, this is the second week of Facebook Live. Everybody say hi to Facebook Live, all right? And everybody say hello to the rest of the online church. Hi, online church. There we go. We'd love to have you here so we can hug you, but we'll give you a cyber hug. There we go. All right. So please let us know that you're watching. By all means, any way you can, we'd love to know that you're connecting. Okay, we want to lift up a couple of announcements before we move into our prayer time. We are doing a database update, so we have that here. So if you want to receive mailings and other kinds of things, I know some people, also you might want to be on the prayer list. You can go ahead, but this helps get us updated with the information about you. So just in case we have that snowstorm, you will get, we have a great service that you will get a phone call, an email, a text, all those kind of things to let you know that we won't be here, so you won't have to take off and leave in the midst of snow or ice or whatever. And you can just fill it out and drop it in the offering plate, or you can just give it to one of the ushers as you leave today. That would work, okay? Communion training today after church. So if you're interested in that, where are you going to meet? Right over here at the cross, perfect place to meet for communion training, so you can meet right over here. Next Sunday after church, anybody who's interested in card ministry, if you'd like to go ahead, many people for birthdays and other kinds of things, if you have updated information, you often get a card for birthdays, anniversaries, and special events and other kinds of things. Excuse me. We'll talk about Miriam's Table in a little bit, but after church on the 19th, February 19th, there's going to be a mission trip planning group, so if you're interested in that, please plan on attending there as well. And then Parish Foundation is also on February 19th. So we need some people, so if you want to sign up, please go ahead. It's right after Valentine's Day, and you can show your love, as Steve Harvey would say. All right? So we have a number of different things there. Before I go to the prayer list, one of the things Wes has been sharing several weeks from our Haven's Helping Hands, our missions team, about Miriam's Table. And so he shared a couple weeks, so we wanted to show you a brief video clip of that right now. So here we go.
In the summer of 2010, two worlds would meet for the first time in the heart of Susie Kiefer. As a part of a mission team to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Susie fell in love with the children that were part of the United Methodist Nutrition Program in the remote area of the Mpasa region. Before she left, she knew she needed to return to spend more time with these precious children. Upon her return the next summer, she met 2-year-old Miriam. The bonding between them was immediate. When the circumstances of Miriam's life changed in 2012, Susie and her husband Ed were given the opportunity to adopt her. In the fall of 2013, Susie was back in Mpasa to bring Miriam home. While waiting for Miriam's exit visa, Susie continued to work at the nutrition center. Mothers from the outskirts of Mpasa sought out Susie, asking her to come and see their starving children. Her heart was torn apart by their plea. Through much prayer with family and friends, they discerned that God was commanding them to feed these children. That is when Miriam's Table was born. Miriam's Table is located in the Mpasa region, where the poorest of poor live. Never before has this community received services from other nonprofit organizations. With the anticipation of serving about 150 children, Miriam's Table opened its doors in October of 2014. In just a matter of 2 weeks, the number swelled to 250. Over the next several months, the numbers continued to grow. Today, about 350 children are fed 5 days a week. The daily meal is a mixture of grains and nutrients to give the children a full day's nutrition, because it may be the only meal they receive that day. Through our efforts, much-needed medicines are now available to the children to prevent some diseases contracted through tainted water and foods. In addition to the health of our children, 7 Congolese men and women have been given full-time jobs. In an area where little work is available, this has been a huge blessing. When Susie and Miriam visit, games and laughter are an everyday event. Everyone joins in the fun. God continues to orchestrate this ministry, and lives are being changed at Miriam's Table.
Okay, that gives you a more of a visual to share exactly what Wes has been talking about, right? And so so that is what the loaves out here are for, to go ahead and to give change, money, checks, whatever. People have been very giving so far. We want to continue that and make a huge difference. Now, she will be here, is that right? On what day? The 19th. 19th, everything's happened. I might just chill out, so... it'll be good. So she'll be here and sharing with us, and that'll be an awesome opportunity for her to share her heart, and as we can connect with that to bridge those broken hearts of people. We don't think about these things in our land of plenty as much. So thank you for your support already, and if you'd like one of those loaves, they're out there still, and we would love the support. That's how it's entirely supported, correct? By individuals, so... All right, let's go over our prayer concerns, if we can. Deputy Virgilio asked for prayers for the family of Ashton Lear. Terry Hollis asked for prayers for Gene and Edith Racine. Gene had a near fall this week, which complicated already existing conditions and hospitalized him. Please pray for healing concerns with insurance and his wife, Edith. All right. Laura White asked for prayers for Chris' friend's brother and, sorry, I missed that, father of four, diagnosed with cancer recently. Okay. Jill asked for prayers for Lisa Schneider's and family and the death of her husband, Stephen, and they have four children. He was 51 years old. Okay. Taylor asked for prayers for Iris Taylor as she is having surgery on the 31st. Jennifer Lugullo has asked for prayers for her dad, Rich Taylor, moving into assisted living this week due to early stages of dementia. Andy praying for comfort for Connie Livesey as she battles cancer. And prayer for Mike McCoy as he deals with addiction and other serious health issues as a result. Also, another name that many of you may know in this community is to lift up Jim Jones. Jim has had some major health concerns and has gone into Calvert, is from what I heard recently. Jim was a good friend and suffers a lot with dementia and some other things. And he's in the Alzheimer's wing there. And Jim was a pastor in a Rising Sun for many, many years and a very, very good friend. And that's a horrific, horrific disease if anybody has ever dealt with anybody with that. So lift him in your prayers as well. Okay? Any others that we can pray for real quick? Yeah. What was the name? Okay, Sarah and Kurt Jurgens. Okay, want to lift them for prayers. Anyone else? Yes. Okay, great. Yeah, Judy had surgery, and just pray for her with her recovery. All right, Ginny, you're having another eye done, right? So you'll be able to see me. I'll be look good in both eyes now. Okay, there we go. Anyone else? Yes, Patty, Austin. That's right. Many of you who are on the prayer list got the prayers for Austin, or else he is at college, back at college now and out of the hospital, but continue to pray for him as well. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. Okay, so pray for your niece's daughter, right? Your niece has a rare blood condition. Okay, so we want to pray for her. Yes. Liz and Gary, yeah, we want to keep them in prayers. Keep Liz for strength and Gary for strength as well, right, and the health. Anybody else? Okay, one other prayer I want to give to you. Jim, right here. He loves this. Jim and Doran, right? Is that it? I got the name right? Okay, can you guys come here? Okay, this is one of the things that we do in church before. Jim and Doran have been part of our church this year. They moved into the area and everything. They can bring family with them too. Some of the kids know them from youth group. But Jim will be deploying later today, right? Okay, for 6 months. So what we want to do, three months, okay? And then he's got some other government stuff, and we've had some people here who have deployed before. So one of the things we want to do is pray for him and the family. Okay, that's something that we do together. Okay, so everybody, let's bow heads and pray. Lord God, I just want to thank you for Jim and Doran and this whole entire family, bringing them to this family called Haven. We've done this several years where we call people up and we lay hands on people. And God, so what we're going to do, we're going to pray, first of all, for Jim, that you will protect him and guide him, that as you did for the Israelites, you'll go before him and you'll also surround him, but you'll also go behind, protecting him fully, claiming the 91st Psalm. And God, that you'll just give him peace and strength and help him do the task that he sought out to do. For the family here, you also give them confidence that they're taken care of. And God, I just ask that you be with Doran and the rest of the family, that they will go ahead and just everything will work perfectly, and that these months will go quickly and swiftly, and that you'll bring them back together. And so, God, I thank you for giving them the opportunity for his heart and his family's sacrifice in order to do what they need to do for their calling on their lives. And so, God, just send them forth. As we, as the church and the body of Haven and the family of Haven, may we support them in any way we can, and that may be your hands and feet. Until we come together again, God, we give you praise. Guide everything in this whole process. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody says, amen. Awesome. Love you, buddy. All right. You're welcome. All right. Well, hey, I might as well not preach today. Okay, here we go. All right, so here we go. Now's our time for offering. Okay, so I'm going to ask the praise team to come up forward now. I'm going to say a prayer before we begin that. So, Lord God, we just come to you now. There are so many things that are going on, but God, you are taking your church and you're moving it in your way. Our schedule is a guideline. Your schedule is perfect timing. And so, God, as we lift up the many prayer requests, there are so many needs, up and down, health, death, tragedies that make no sense in our minds. Yet, God, you are the only thing that is stable. And so touch our hearts and touch our lives right now, God, to just give us peace and direction and focus. And let us hear what you have to say to us on this last day in which we talk about the favorite five. And so, God, I call to mind the old song, "There's a sweet, sweet spirit in this place." And I know that it's the presence of the Lord. And so, God, may that sweet spirit just move in our hearts and our lives. For we have been so blessed, as we were reminded by the video of Miriam's table, we are so blessed that many of our children don't have to face those situations. That one meal that they get through her may be the only thing they get all day. And so, God, how we've been blessed, and so we want to generously give back to you. Scripture says you love a cheerful giver, and so, God, I thank you for the giving of this church. The many, many lives that have been changed for generations already, but that will from the mission and ministry of this church. And so, God, I ask that you anoint these gifts and these tithes and your gifts. Multiply them and use them. Not only to stay here and do what we need to do here in our community, but, God, that it may reach to the ends of the earth. Ends of the earth, and that we will have the name of Jesus lifted higher. So, Lord God, help us be that flavor for the world, that light on a hilltop, that others will come to know you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Salt and light.
salt and light.
Good morning. Today's reading is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 27, verse 19. It is your own face that you see reflected in the water, and it is your own self that you see in your heart.
Hello? There we go. All right, here we go. All right, good morning. Everybody good? Okay, we started this series on the first day of this year, right? And we're going to end it on the last day, on the last Sunday of January. So here we are. We were talking, it started off talking about how we make resolutions and how, anybody make a resolution this year? Nope, you gave up. Okay, but we find out that many people, when they make a resolution, they don't fulfill it. By this time in the year, they're already shot. They're done. And so what we really focused this was not on resolutions, but basically from the rule of five, which was from John Maxwell, who is the leadership guru and who has a lot of things about leadership. And a couple things that we started to talk about in this is a couple main topics, the getting God back into our life and taking back every day. And we started giving that illustration about taking an axe, and that successful people, what they do, it's not what they do in one day and try to do it all, it's what they do every single day. So for instance, it's kind of like taking an axe and chopping down a tree. If it's a big tree and you're taking forever, you might get tired and then you give up. Where if you went ahead and every day you took five swings, went back in, took five swings the next day, went back in and did that continually, eventually that tree would fall and you wouldn't give up. So what we're going to do is we're looking about mastering today and living for today. And one of our theme verses has been one that's been consistent from Proverbs 17, where we talked about this from week one, where it says, an intelligent person aims at wise what? Action. That means they do something. They don't just talk about it. They do it. They put it into practice. But the fool starts off in what? Many directions. In other words, they're all over the place. And so what we look at, what I want to share with you, a wise person lives intentionally with intentional actions. A foolish person lives unintentionally and just allows things to happen. We also use the verse from Jeremiah chapter 6, where it says this. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads. And we always look at the new year kind of as a crossroads. The way we can go forward, back, make new changes. And so here we are standing at a new crossroads. And what does it tell us to do? It says, ask for the ancient path. In other words, when you have a decision or you're in a point in life where you're at a crossroads, look back, go back to the basics. Go back to the basics of what they need. Sometimes we need to get back to the basics because so much stuff gets attached into there. So we look at this. Get back to the basics. Why? Because here's what it says. Ask for the ancient path and ask where the what way is. The good way is. The good way is, and walk in it, and you will find, how many need this? Rest for your souls. And that's been two of our main verses. And as I said, this series has been get God back into your life. And also, I said this several weeks, if you want change, you got to change, correct? In order to have change, you need to change. And so that's one of the things that we're looking at. Now today, we are going to conclude this series with the favorite five. The favorite five. Now some of you might remember years ago with a company, T-Mobile, that when cell phones were out, they were talking about your five. Anybody remember that? Well, you had your five, and they were, I wasn't a T-Mobile person, but if you had these five people, they were people that you could text or you could call, and it was either reduced or free. Anybody remember that? Anybody have T-Mobile back then? Was I in your five? I don't think so. All right, so, but the question that they always ask at the end of this series was this: who's in your five? Who's in your five? And so what I want to do is ask you today, who is in your five? And I want to say how intentional, as today's about relationships. So that could be good or bad. But I'm going to talk about relationships. And there's a problem with relationships. We all need them and we all have them, correct? But the problem is we've been burned by them as well. Anybody? Anybody been burned in a relationship? Okay. And guess what? We start to get guarded when we have relationships. And we put up walls around us. Look at what Genesis chapter 2, what it says in Genesis chapter 2. One of the first things God said after creating Adam was this: it's not good for man to be alone. In other words, we were never created to do this life thing on our own. And you know, we were created to be in relationship, but here's a secret for you. A not so secret secret. People are a pain in the rear at many, many times. We need them, but we don't like them very often. Am I right? Okay? So, but one of the things is, how do we deal with this whole thing of needing people, but people knocking us down? Now, the verse that June read for this came from here, but I'm going to give you the other translation. And it says from, I got right here, a mirror. Okay? Look at you guys. Don't you look good? All right? So, let's look at this. Look at this translation from Proverbs chapter 27 in the Good News Version. It says, a mirror reflects a man's face. Well, that's pretty, right? Look at my hair. I still got it. Thank you, Jesus, right? All right? So still got some. Might be a little bit thinner than it once was, but doesn't look that bad, I don't think. All right? So I can look at myself all day. All right? Let me see. I don't want to get you guys in there. All right? Okay? So I can look at myself all day, and the only thing I'm going to see is me. Right? That's all I know is about me. But what does the rest of the scripture say? But what he is really like is shown by the kinds of what? Friends he chooses. So guess what? You are who you hang out with. Any parents ever tell your kids that? You are exactly who you spend time with. The Bible says you are who you hang out with. So I'm asking you today, who's in your five? And what I'm going to do for the remainder of the service is I'm going to give you a list of people that need to be in your five, of relationships that you need to have, so that when you look in the mirror, you're not only looking at yourself, but you're looking at all the friends that you have, and you can really see who you are. All right? So here we go. We're going to talk about your friends list. Number one on the list, the big G-O-D, God. God, number one. Now, some of you might right now say, okay, Jack, got it, God, let's go, all right? But there's a problem. There's a problem that God, the term, is so fluid in our culture that we think we have God on our list. But I'm telling you, many of us may have God on a list, but maybe not on our friends list, and maybe not number one. We would need to put God number one on our friends list. In Matthew chapter 6, 33, we know this. What does it say? It says this: but first seek his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And we know that. We understand that. Anybody who's been in church for a while has probably heard that. And that is true. However, I want to share with you, I was raised in church my whole life. I think the first Sunday I was born, I was in church. And that was a good thing, a real good thing. But I also want to share with you something else. The experience of church in growing up also sort of distanced me from God, and I will tell you why. Not because of all the stuff, I got all kinds of other stories, but because, and many of you may have been raised in church, because church was vastly different from the rest of the week that I lived in. I sat in chairs that I never would sit in the rest of the week. We called them pews because they stunk, correct? All right? And then one time they said, let's put cushions there. And then, whoo, I can sit my butt down and feel good. Okay? So we had those. I had windows that I saw nowhere else in the world. We listened and sang songs that I had no CD of in my whole entire life. CD is like an iPod that was... Right. And so it forced me, and there are all kinds of different things. Some of us may have been even from a time where we used one version of the Bible that we heard nowhere else except for in Shakespeare class. And all these things helped me, forced me, kind of put me in a position to segment God on Sunday and church here and the rest of the life somewhere else. Anybody relate to that? And so that's kind of what it does for us. Now, I don't begrudge that because there's some awesome things that begin to happen. But it wasn't until that I went to some youth events at a Youth Alive weekend where people brought out a guitar. A guitar in church, not in pipe organ. And started to play things and started to talk on my level and started to speak to me in a way. And I was blessed to have a father who was spirit-filled and always gave a great message. But still, all the other stuff around there didn't relate to 1980-something Jack. It was that one-on-one relationship that I began to form, that God began to form with me. And so, I still struggle with that throughout my life and still at times want to fight against that. Because I was conditioned for so long, God on Sunday, but he's not my friend Monday through Saturday. And so what happened is, I liked God. I loved God. I had a reverence for God. But I really did not know him as my friend. And then, I said the sinner's prayer at age 5 at Christ Church in Fetzelsburg, and I was a Christian, and, I had major events happen. But to really get to know him was something that I had to build upon and work on that relationship and still do to this day. And if you want to know what really kind of jolts you is when you look at this verse that has been thrown out many, many times from Matthew chapter 7, where it says this, where Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Wait a second. Excuse me? Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, that's what we were taught to do. That's what we're supposed to do. Say, Lord, Lord. Well, didn't we do this in your name? And didn't we do that in your name? And Jesus says, then I will tell them plainly, depart from me, I never knew you. That's just scared of stuffing out of you. It did me. Because how much do I know Jesus? You see, what I've realized in my life and what I want to share with you is the condition of my eternity is not religion, but relationship. I'm going to say that again. The condition of my eternity is not religion. It's relationship. Relationship with the number one on my 5 list, God. You may respect him, you may love him, but you may not fully know him. Is he in your 5? Put God at the top. That's number one. Number two, this may surprise you. Myself. You say, wait a second, Jack. I was taught at a young age, Jesus, others, you, joy. Anybody else taught that? So you're supposed to put others before yourself. Jesus, others, you, joy. Okay? I wanted you to put these in this order because a lot of us, I want to say a lot of you, and a lot of us here, a lot of us online, are really good at giving to people. You constantly say yes. You are always willing to be there. Your availability makes you there. And that's not always right. You fill the void all the time. You're there, you're there. You are so giving and so giving and so giving that you are running dry. And there's a neat illustration to this. You can't drive others down the road if you have an empty tank. And so many of us exist on fumes and empty tanks that we're trying to serve and serve and serve and serve. There was a pastor of one of the fastest growing churches in the United States this year who made a statement where he stood up in front of this church and said, leaders need to lead full, or at least have something in the tank. And he said, I love all of you, but my tank is empty and I cannot leave empty. And it was major news that this guy, this massive church, the fastest growing church, where on face value everything looks great, resigned because of depression and hurt and everything else, anxiety and everything else. And people were shocked because this was a main pastor in the world today. But he said, I can't lead on empty anymore. And he said, I'm broken. Burnout among pastors, clergy, and other people who are in giving fields is of epidemic proportions. And some of you aren't even in those fields, but you are so giving that you are running on empty. And the person that is last to get their tank full is you. And you need to stop and make you second. What does it say in 1 Thessalonians? 1 Thessalonians says, may God himself, and I love what this says, the God of what? Peace. Sanctify you. That means set you apart through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. No, they just don't say the spirit things, but your soul and your body. Are your emotions broken? Are your thoughts broken? Is your body tired? And I guarantee you, if the one area of those is affected, your whole body will be. You can have a moment when it's good, but guess what? If the other things aren't right, the rest of it won't be. So that you may be blameless at the coming of our Lord. I've been spending a lot of time over the last couple of years. The first thing I did was start to focus on my body because I let myself go. And it still ain't pretty now, I know, but God's working on me, all right? But one of the things, I started doing stuff. I still to this day am not like thrilled, yay, workout time, woohoo! I still don't have that approach all the time, but I do it because I want my, because after I'm done the workout, like people say, how you doing? If I'm walking in the locker room, I'll say, in 2 hours, I'll be great, you know? But when I'm walking out, they say, how you doing? I said, I feel awesome, and I always feel awesome after it, all right? But also there's other things that Jack needs to take care of, his own emotional and spiritual well-being, okay? That's some of the things that Jack has been working on. I'm talking like Bob Dole here, all right? There's some of the things that I need to work on for myself because I am just like you, a sinner saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and God has called me to be a pastor. But I can only help this church and help the kingdom of God if I have something in my tank as well. It's become so important to me to be good, to have that in myself. And it's not selfish, but it's important. And so I'm going to ask you, are you on your five list? Because the scripture says God is faithful and just to complete what he began, a good work in you. He's faithful to complete it. Number three, this one you probably expect, family, right? Family. I want to say we need to be intentional, to make an intentional effort about your family, because often we expect them to be there. And this is one of the most important relationships. And what I find out many times is in family relationships, they wait until a crisis occurs to work on it. With children, if they aren't causing too much of a problem, we don't teach and we don't correct and we don't guide until there's a crisis. And when the crisis comes out, it's often too late. If we feel like the marriage is a little rocky, we often wait to tell people until we're already broken. And so instead of doing that, we need to work on things when they are good. We need to be intentional about things. Don't wait for the crisis. For instance, there was a boy who one time came to his father, and he was asking the question how people were born. The father went to the accountant, and he said that basically God made Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had babies. Their babies grew up. They had babies, and et cetera, et cetera, and now we're here. So the boy went and asked his mother. He said, Mommy, how do we get here? And she said, well, there were these monkeys and they evolved. And when they grew, they evolved. And then here we are today. So he ran and he told his dad. He said, hey, you lied to me. And he told his dad what his mother said. She said, no, that's okay. She's talking about her side of the family. All right? There's issues there, right? And they're waiting to talk about it. And that could be a problem. In Proverbs chapter 2. Chapter 24, it says, it takes wisdom to have a what? Good family. And it takes understanding to make it strong. It is my dream that if one thing is accomplished in this church, that we have strong, godly, spirit-filled families that are strong. That we will be like Joshua in Joshua 24, which he said, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. All right? And that's my prayer for you. Be intentional. Don't let the world pick your five. Be intentional about your five. Okay, so we have God, and we want him every day through the week. Number one, myself, my family. And number four, here we go, my group. And you say, what group? Now, churches are really good about talking about small groups, 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 small groups. Guess what? If you're not in a small group, you are in a small group. Because guess what? People like to group together. It's a sociological fact. We group together with others. That's what gangs are. Small group. Right? That's what coffee time is. That's what Oprah's book club is. It's a small group. They're small groups. That's what we do. We group together. That's your bowling group. That's your dinner group. That's whatever you like to do group, right? We group together in different people. Everybody needs a few people to group. Now, there's a warning that I want to give here and something to keep in mind. If you, individually, if you have something in your mind that only you know, that if you get a chance to do or you're thinking about doing, and you're the only person who knows that, you are dangerously in trouble. Let me say it again. If you are thinking about something, doing something, engaging in something, and you're the only person who knows that you're thinking about that, you're dangerously in trouble. Because everything happens when we try to deal with, and we dismiss and say, I'm trying to deal with it. I'll deal with it on my own. I'm good. Because what we need is we need people in our lives that can jack us up every once in a while and get us going. For instance, I will give you for instance. If you're going through little hell and you walk in on Sunday morning and you go, and people say, how you doing? You say, I'm fine. You can fake it. But with a small group of people who really, really know you, when you walk up to them and they go, they say, how you doing? They can say, what's wrong? No, I'm fine. No, you're not. I know what is wrong with you. Are you okay? Am I right? Because they know you. That's why you need that group of people to be there for you. Remember, the mirror, we can fool ourselves in the mirror. Man, you make Brad Pitt look bad. I can fool myself. My friends are saying, look again, Jack. Right? And that's the reason we need other people. The original church and every growth of church started by a thing called, dare I say it, accountability. And we've lost accountability for political correctness in our faith. We need to hold each other accountable for things. Our life will never change unless it really changes in the context of a small group. We need people that say, how you doing when you're a mess? That will say, no, you're not. You're not leaving here until we find out what's wrong. And I'm here for you. And you need people who are trustworthy, who are there, who are back and forth. I have friends in my life that I've had since I've been very, very young. And I have a lot of people who I know, a lot of Facebook friends, a lot of friend stuff. But I have a handful of people in my life that I can share absolutely every single detail. They're not going to be shocked, but they're going to hold me accountable and tell me, Jack, you got to get your stuff together. And they may even be more harsh with that because they know how stubborn I am. And I need that in my life, and you do too. Look at what it says in Ecclesiastes. Chapter 4, it says this, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand. Look at this, back to back, because guess what? We all have a blind spot. And guess what? I don't like you telling me about my blind spot. The only people who can are the people who I allow close in my life. Like, for instance, I don't like people, Pastor, I got to tell you got something going on here. What's wrong with you? You know, well, you don't know me. I'm not letting you tell me about my blind spot, right? The person who stands back to back with me that I have built a relationship with, that I trust, that I will accept it, that's an awesome thing to have. And if you don't have that, you need one. So you need to join. When we start Lent, we will be having some of our small groups join that. And I know there's people because of this church that have formed those relationships with people. And that's an awesome thing. Think about this. Think about if my kids were being bad. I know you're shocked. My kids are being bad, and they don't know you. And you say, come here, Cohen, you bad Cohen kids. I'm going to whoop your butt. Come here. What are they going to do? They are going to run from you like I told them to. When I say to them, Cohen, they're going to want to run, but I'm going to say, you run. I am going to destroy you. Come here. Like that. I remember when Jacob's fast, you know, right? He runs this track thing. And I remember when he was little and I was chasing around the house and I was like, yeah, he's faster than me already, you know? It was one of those kind of things. But they know they eventually got to come home. And they know daddy says, come here. And they better come, right? Because I have been the father who also nurtured them and played with them in the floor and went to their events and coached them and all that kind of stuff. Because I've earned that right by the relationship I have with them, and vice versa. Okay? Scripture says in Proverbs 27, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That's how you do it. You know, the iron's not feeling good there, but it's that heat. It's that friction. And, you know, the Scripture, I believe that's what the Scripture talked about in working out our salvation. We need that friction. In order to have growth, we need that friction. In order to be sharp, we need that. Okay, everybody good? Number five, my circle. What do I mean by that? My circle of influence. You are influencing others, and they are influencing you. Sociologists revealed to us that there are about 12 or 13 people that the average person spends, if you add up all the time that they interact, that they that's their main circle of influence, that they have at least 1 hour of time with a week. 12 or 13 people. The average father spends about 7 minutes a day with their children. If you add that up, that is 49 minutes a week. That means that the average father and child, their children are not in their circle of influence. Think about that. Who are the people that are? Most of the people that you work with, the 8 to 5, the 9 to 5, people that you go to school with. There are some neighbors, but you probably don't spend that much time with them unless you work with them. I remember on my college floor, there was a guy there who was very, very funny. His name was Jeremy. And he was just a guy that people liked. And he would do stupid stuff like, he'd go, heh, like that. And before you know it, everybody on the floor was going, heh, like that. Why he had an influence? Heh, I don't know why. Heh. And we were all going around like 19, 20-year-olds going, heh, that's ridiculous. But he had an influence on us, and we had an influence on him, right? In Acts chapter 16, there's a great story about two guys, Paul and Silas. They were arrested, they were beaten, they were put in jail. All of a sudden, an earthquake shook the prison. Their chains fell off, the doors opened. They walked out and they saw the jailer with a knife to his throat, about ready to kill himself because he would have been killed for letting the prisoners escape. And Paul and Silas said, no, wait. Don't do that. We're all still here. And then they witnessed the faith of Jesus Christ to this group of people, to this jailer. And then this scripture that has been said many times but may have been misconstrued, it says, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your whole household. Now that has been translated wrong because what it means, the Greek is oikos or oikos, which is O-I-K-O-S. Isn't there like a yogurt that way? Right. So I'm going to tell you what that yogurt means. It means circle of influence. That it's not just the family, because every person in your house has to accept Jesus on their own. It's not like a blanket. But what it says is this. Accept and believe in Jesus, and you will influence your circle of influence, and they too will come to know Christ. This is important, because we need to start doing this intentionally. Because I'm going to tell you something. God is not holding you responsible for the ends of the earth, but he is holding you responsible for your circle of influence, those people around you. In Jeremiah, it tells us, you are to influence them. Do not let them influence you. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before men that you may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. We need to be salt and light, as was sung today. So what I want to, as we wind down this series, and here we are, Liz, I know you're back there. You're going to get one of these. I saw a pastor do this, and I really like it, so I stole it. Right? This is a what? Lifesaver. And I'm not giving it to you because you have bad breath. I'm giving it to you for a reason. I want you to take it. Everybody get one. They're going to come around. Everybody take one. And I want you to look at it. I want you to think about it. I want you to pray. And I want you to put a name to somebody who doesn't know Christ. I want you to keep it with you. You may put it in your pocket. You may put it on the dash of your car. You may put it somewhere where you can recognize it. You may have it on your desk because you know that's where a lot of your circle of influence is going to be. And you're going to keep it there. And I want you to every time you look at that, I want you to pray for that one person's name. I want you to think of them. I want you to ask God to bring them closer to the Lord. I want you to just lift them up. And then here's what you do. You may even say, invite them to church. Next week, we're going to start a new series. I'll talk about a little bit, but it's called Running with the Big Dogs. Okay, so we're going to talk about that. And so you might want to invite them for the Big Dog Sermon series. And then when they end up coming to Christ, have a little party by yourself, rip it open, eat it, say, all right, God, and then we'll get you another one if you need one. But then I want you to just send an email, send a text, send something, and let us know. What we want to do, this is just to help us be intentional about our faith, intentional about our influence, our sphere of influence in the world. And so as we close this out, three things I want to briefly share with you. What do? Be brave and take the initiative. Don't just listen. Don't just sit there, but go ahead and do something. You may say, Jack, I don't know how to pray for somebody. Or Jack, I don't really want to go call somebody. None of us do. But that's about stepping across where it's uncomfortable and being intentional. Step across that line. Scripture tells us God has not given us a spirit of fear. And so there we need to embrace it. You may show up at the men's group. You may show up at Dining for Women. You may show up at one of the other small groups that we have. You may say, okay, when Lent comes, I'm going to join a small group for the first time. And you're going to form relationships with people for maybe the first time. Number two, be considerate of the needs of others around you. What I mean this is don't always look to get something, but you are valuable and have gifts from God that you may give something. Some of the most awesome things is whenever I've done a Bible study or a small group, and I may be leading and teaching, that I always get the most awesome thing is I always get something new from the people that are there. Sometimes the people who've never taken it before have some of the greatest growth and questions. Right? And then the last thing. Oh, wait, I want to tell you this too. Every relationship gets old. Am I right? Like sometimes you may be, I don't like this family anymore. I want another one. I don't like that husband of mine. He doesn't look as good. He doesn't act as good anymore. Yeah, another one, God. Right? I don't like this job anymore. I don't like this church anymore. I will tell you something. Everybody who has left this church, and there's been several different reasons, anybody who's ever left the church that I've been part of has disconnected from the body. They've disconnected from family and each other. Every single one. It could be several different things, but they started building up the walls. One reason or another. Always disconnected from people as family. Many of us would love to give up on our family members, some of them, right? But we don't. Why? Because they're family. So what I'm telling you, this last one, be committed. Be committed to the relationships. Be committed to these five. And I guarantee you, if you actually don't just hear this series, if you missed any of them, check it out online, havencc.org. If you missed any of them, check them, because we've gone from the process of spiritual five to your five. All right, we've reached here to this day here. So what I want you to do is just to go ahead and say, God, I want to be different. I want to change and be different. I need you back in my life. So as the worship team comes up today, I'm going to pray. And you know what? You can stand where you are. Let's pray. Lord God, I just come to you today and I just thank you for who you are, number one. And God, I just want to say I'm sorry for not having you number one on my list. So God, may you be part of my favorite five, not only part of it, but the number one. So God, as we look through this series and we've talked about the five, and through it, God, we've had lots of craziness already for this first month of the year. But we know that you are God and you're awesome. And so I just pray that your Holy Spirit will just flow down right now into the lives of every person here. As we open our hearts and our minds and our lives to you. God, there may be people here right now who may be like I've been in my life where, you know, I've been part of church, but I kind of segmented my life that this is about God. This is God time, and this is the rest of the week, Jack time. And then I'll come back and I'll reconnect to you, God, because I love you and I worship you. But when we really look at it, God, I don't want to be the one that I say, hey, I said, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name and that? And you say, Jack, who are you? God, I want to know you. I need you. I can't get anything else in order unless you are the number one of my favorite five. Somebody else here, maybe somebody who you had it once, you had that relationship and it took priority and it was intentional, and then life hit. Your family broke, you had horrific circumstances, and you just got busy. And you just kind of like forgot about God and he started going down your list. Or maybe you're somebody who you have God there, but then you forgot about you and you've been giving and giving and giving and giving, and now you're just empty and you're tired and you just wish it was all over and you're lost, and the depression and the loss and the just weight upon your life is just so heavy. You just need to say, God, I need you now. More than any words can say, I need you right now. God, I want you at the top of my list. I want to be that person that gets up every day and takes those five swings and lays it down and comes back again. And I want to be consistent and I want to be intentional. But most of all, I want to be the child that you have called me to be. And I want to make my heavenly daddy proud. So that it's not, Lord, Lord, you say, depart from me, but that you say, well done, good and faithful servant. So, Lord, I just ask that you move through this room. You touch every heart, every mind. And if you need that, if you want that right now, if you want to know God with every head bowed and eyes closed, just lift your hand up and say, I need you, God, I need you. If you need him more than you ever have, I see him right there. That's awesome. If you say, I'm not sure what I need, but I'm here and God, you're doing something. Say right here. Even if you're home right now, just kind of raise your hand right now and say, God, yeah. So, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for all the things that you're doing and going to do in the life and ministry of all these individuals. This altar's open, or the altar of their seat is, but let us worship you. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody says, amen.
righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you when temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay.
That's the five, right? So hopefully, I personally enjoyed this series more than many that I've ever done. It just really seemed to be practical and really to give us some stuff. But remember, the wise person does wise what? Action. The fool heads off in several directions. It doesn't change unless you change. Okay, that's the key thing. So next week, we're going to begin a series that's going to lead us up to the season of Lent. And this series is called Running with the Big Dogs. Okay, there we go. Running with the big dogs. And what we're going to do, we're going to take, just to let you know, we're going to take several of the big people in faith. And we're going to, and there's in Hebrews chapter 11 and 12, it talks about we're surrounded, see there they are, surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses. Right? That's what the scripture says. Cheering us on. Kind of like in a stadium. And so, again, John Maxwell's the theme for me this year. John Maxwell wrote a book where he talked about if one of them could come out of the stands and do a lap with you, what would they tell you? And so we're going to stop and we're going to look at some of these big, major people of faith. If they could take one lap around this thing called life, what would they tell us as they're going around the lap? Okay, so we'll do some. Now this may come back again. Big dogs may come back again in this season because there's lots of people that we could talk about. All right, sound cool? So you can invite your friends. Remember, you got this. Give it a name. Don't just chuck it down your gullet. Okay? You can only eat it until you got a name. So have an awesome week in God. And everybody make sure you wish Jim well and surround his family with love. Have a great week. God bless.